What is up from the SNY studios in New York City? Welcome to another edition of the Knicks Blog Podcast, and I'm doing this with a smile on my face because that is how you're supposed to do a radio show slash podcast.
That's funny, man. Yeah. So first of all, the what is up was mad energetic.
Yeah,
It was a surprise to me considering what's going on in Knickland.
Yeah, right. Not a lot of good going on in Knickland.
Especially dudes coming for your head on Twitter.
Yeah. You know what, Moke? And, you know, welcome to another edition of the Knicks Blog Podcast. And Moke, obviously good to be with you as always. I've gone through something personally with the Knicks fans over the last month or so, and even last summer as well, that I've never really gone through, is that a lot of fans have, and you know, they take it a little too personal at times. I've been disagreeing with a lot of things Knicks have done.
Knicks fans taking stuff personal?
And on Twitter? No, that would never happen.
What are you talking about?
So, Moke, I've gone through something that I haven't gone through a lot. Yeah, over the years, there's times people say you suck and all that. But the last few months, a lot of people, you know, because they believe in Phil so much. And I'm not this 100% anti-Phil thing. I call it like I see it. If Phil Jackson signs Kevin Durant, Rajon Rondo, and LeBron James,
all is forgiven.
Yeah, like, it's not like I hate Phil. I call it like I see it. So I've been going through that the last few weeks, and a lot of fans have been getting on me. But some have actually given me more credit, because over the years, sometimes people would say,
You're not objective.
Do you work for the Knicks? And now that I've been a little very critical of the team I love, well, now I'm off on even some tweets I got the other day, Moke, that I'm not a fan anymore.
So what's the smile for, though?
Because the season's almost over, and you gotta.
Ready to turn the page.
And I love what I do with you, and I love what I do here at SNY.
Smiling because of me?
Yeah,
Don't be afraid to say it, brother. Just say it, man. Moke, I'm happy that you're sitting
here
next
to me. I'm
here
with you, and I love, even though we're talking about losing, I really love that. I love that not just myself, you, myself, we have a voice in this town, and that's pretty cool.
I'm very happy to hear that. First of all, that watch is fly, by the way.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this coaching thing, man, because that's basically what what it's all about right now, right?
Right, you would think.
Kurt Rambis, you've had some very choice words and commentary on how you felt about Rambis getting a job on a permanent basis.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
Report by Mark Berman comes out saying that it looks like Rambis might be the lead candidate for the job. Like, how do you feel about that, Ant?
I mean, and Mark had that, and Mark will be joining us in a little bit on the Knicks Blog Podcast. Alan Hahn, he's been saying that for a while. You and I have kind of discussed that. I think it's a good chance it could be Kurt based on just, you know, Phil Jackson. I just think you don't hire Phil Jackson, give him $12 million a year to hire Kurt Rambis to coach your team. No disrespect to Kurt. I'm sure he's – I know everybody prefaces this by saying this. I'm sure he's a wonderful guy.
Who
sure
gives
he is?
A damn about
no,
his...
I know,
Come on,
I know.
Man. I
was kind of trolling right there.
Yeah.
No, Kurt Rambis, it just doesn't. If you're an NBA team, and you're looking
Isaiah
for a head coach.
Isaiah is a great guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It just, Moke, it doesn't make any sense. The players aren't responding to him. I mean, then again, you know, the season's been over for like a month now. Not only can you not have Kurt Rambis coach the team, I think it's a disrespect to the fans. It's a disrespect to ownership, the whole franchise. If you hire Kurt Rambis and you don't even do a coaching search.
Okay, so for you, it's more about whether or not he actually goes out there and tries to solicit other candidates.
Well, even if he does that and hires Kurt, I'll still be
You'll still be mad, but you'll be more mad if he doesn't put
absolutely.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I'm not mad at that. The only thing I would say, Anthony, so first of all, I agree with you. Based on what I've seen, based on what I saw in Minnesota, that comes with a little bit of an asterisk for me.
Yeah, that team was
awful.
Minnesota.
You know what I mean? The team was awful. The front office, devout of great
leadership.
Didn't
they draft nine point guards?
Oh, man.
And I believe there was a guy named Steph Curry available. So, yes, there's an asterisk.
Let's not even go down that rabbit hole of what happened in Minnesota. A couple of weeks ago, I drew the parallel of Dwayne Casey in Toronto. All right? Casey, also a former head coach of Minnesota Timberwolves. Casey took over in Toronto for the exiting head coach that was there, Jay Triano. Casey was not thought to be a great coach. Casey coached that team for 2 years. They missed the playoffs. They had 20 some odd wins each of those 2 years. And everyone thought when Masai Ujiri came in that Casey was going to get shown the door.
Yep.
He has not. And since then, this now marks the third season in a row where Dwayne Casey has led the Raptors to a franchise best win
and
total.
And they're thought of as
season.
A team that can challenge the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
Yes.
So sometimes you got to be patient and you got to give the coach a chance to grow. Now, if Phil wants to do that with Kurt Rambis, I don't agree with that course of action, right? If he doesn't hire Tom Thibodeau, I think it's a failure on Phil Jackson's part. But at the end of the day, what you do want in the front office is you do want a guy who has the stones to stick to his to what he wants to do, you know? So being mad at him hiring Kurt Rambis as a full-time head coach would be the same exact thing as being mad at them drafting Kristaps Porzingis.
And I'll tell you what, Mogi, if he stays with
so
Kurt...
So a little patience, you know what I'm saying?
I think I have been.
All right, so what I'm saying is if he does hire Rambis, all I got to say is it better work.
If he does hire Rambis and it does work out, whether that's making the playoffs next year or a championship the year after, I'll be the first to cheer it up.
Okay, let me stop you right there. So what would be, quote unquote, it working? Because I know you've been very critical about fans celebrating 30 wins and all this and all that.
Oh.
For you next year, what would make it worth it?
You got to be in the upper 40s, man.
Upper 40s? You want at least 45 wins next year.
Yeah, man. Right. None of this BS. But what's interesting, Moke, is that we all know that Phil Jackson has an opt-out after next year.
Okay.
Maybe that opt-out becomes official in March of 2017 because that would be the 3-year anniversary of him getting the job. But it's after next year. It's interesting because if Kurt Thomas, once a Nick, always a Nick, by the way, if Kurt Rambis, now would he get an extension to become the head coach? Would he get a bigger contract? Or does Dolan say, listen, dude, I know you have an opt-out next year, and everybody wants Dolan out, and I understand that, but if you're the owner, Dolan should probably go to Phil over the next few weeks and say, listen, are you here for the next few years? Or is there a chance you opt out? Because if there's a chance you're opting out at the end of the year, I just can't let you sign off on Kurt Rambis and maybe you should leave now.
Mm.
But if you're here the next 3 years and you really want Kurt Rambis, I'm going to let you rock. But if there's a chance you're leaving with your opt out, then I might just have to let you go now.
Wow. So basically, if you're James Dolan, you're going to give him an ultimatum.
Well,
to say,
no, not necessarily an ultimatum, but I think...
That's an ultimatum, brother.
Nobody wants Mr. Dolan involved.
If you're going to opt out and go, you should just go now.
I know everybody just wants Dolan to play his music, and he loves to do that. But if you're the owner, don't you need to know? No, you don't got to give him an ultimatum. Find out. Listen.
Nah. You know, I disagree with you, Ant. I don't agree with that because that's what a contract option is for.
Yeah.
And when you sign a 68-year-old guy to a 5-year contract and he has an opt out in the final year, it's like, that's why you signed me to this contract, so I can make that decision when the time comes.
And then I guess, let's just say for the sake of conversation, if Phil Jackson leaves, Kurt would probably leave with him. Listen, we're all just...
I get what you're saying, though. What you're saying is it's not right for Phil to give Kurt a 4-year contract and then bounce
after a year or two. Yeah, and then you still got to pay him, unless, obviously, Kurt were to leave on his own. And then you're starting over again, and whoever comes in after Phil probably isn't going to be using the triangle offense.
See, and that's...
So it's just where are we?
Where's the long-term plan?
Yeah, where's the continuity? Where is it going right now?
That's a great question and a great point. And I was actually going to bring something like that up too. What I wonder is what the succession plan for Phil Jackson is. Because you know Phil is not going to be here. I mean, maybe he'll be here in 3 years, but he probably won't be here in 7 or 8 or 10 years.
That's fair.
So I wonder what the succession plan is. Is Allen Houston now a subscriber to the triangle?
I doubt it. And when does it ever happen in sports, Moke, where – The next guy that comes in runs it exactly the same in anything in life. Let's just say, you know, Jason Pateri, our wonderful producer, leaves. The next producer that comes into
the show.
Come on,
man. I don't even want to hear about
that, man. Is he
going
to do the same
Jay
exact?
Ain't going nowhere,
no,
man.
My point is, but let's say he did. Is he going to come
don't
in
even talk
and do the show
existence, all right?
The same exact way? He's probably going to change a little bit. Maybe change the segments a little bit. Maybe change the time. Maybe change this. So
bad example, but I see
that
your
was
point.
A good example, wasn't it? So it was good. It's a game in life. So the guy who, you know, if Phil leaves, there's no way they're going to keep running the triangle.
See, I don't know that. I just
don't know, but when does it ever happen?
I guess it has not happened.
And when does it happen where the general manager in any sport tells the coach what to run?
Doesn't normally happen.
So that's not, I don't think that's a great recipe for success. Now, you want good communication between the coach and the general manager of any team, any sport, any organization, any operation. But I don't know if this is the right thing to do with the general manager telling the coach how to play.
The bottom line for me as it relates to the entire coaching search, I don't think Phil Jackson has more time to gamble or take any more risk. And that's basically what it is for me.
Kurt Rambis be quite the risk?
He would be, which is why I say I don't agree with Rambis as the hire. maybe he will be the next Dwayne Casey, but Masai Ujiri was just taking over that situation. He had a blank slate. Phil has been here for years now, and Phil also has a 31-year-old Carmelo Anthony.
He does.
Closing in on 32.
And I still think Melo's got a few really good years left. Right. He's moving great. I saw him last night. He's moving well. He can play a few more years.
So speaking of Carmelo, one thing that has sort of gotten everybody's attention, this is probably public information. I read it from Ian Begley, who we had on last week, the great Begs. Carmelo publicly seems supportive of the idea of Kurt being retained as the head coach.
I think he said he likes him as a guy.
But
he said...
He says that they should go after other candidates. Correct. They should at least consider. And that Carmelo himself does want input. Correct. What do you make of all that?
I don't have a problem with... Now,
I know how I feel, but I want to know how you feel.
You don't want the players to have a lot of input. But should a player like a Carmelo Anthony, a Dwayne Wade, a LeBron James, should they run their franchises? Absolutely. Well, we know LeBron does. But absolutely not. But should a guy like Melo have a little bit of a say? A little bit, yes. A little bit,
just
yes.
A little bit?
I think so. Like, if you're Melo, you're a scorer. You're a guy, you like the ball in this spot, whatever it may be. So if you want to say, yo, I need a point guard that can do this and do that, I'm not going to kill that. But I don't have a problem with star players have some input. Yeah, it doesn't always work. But some input, yes. A lot of input, no.
I would be shocked beyond belief if privately – Carmelo Anthony is not a strong, strong advocate of Tom Thibodeau. Now, what everyone needs to understand and realize is that...
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
So, if Carmelo didn't re-sign with the Knicks, where was he going to go?
Chi-Town, baby.
Why you think he was going to go to Chi-Town?
Good team, good coach, good organization.
All right. So, Melo is already a believer in Thibodeau.
They worked together on the Olympics.
Now you're using your noggin,
man.
Now you're using
happens,
your noggin.
Man.
Now you're starting to connect dots,
it
brother,
happens.
Man. That's how you do it. Nice work with that.
Thank you.
But here's the thing. The NBA, right? This is business just like corporate America is business. Just like it. What happens when you're Carmelo, when you're Phil Jackson, when you talk up Kurt Rambis, you give legitimacy to him as a head coach. So even if you don't hire him to be the head coach of the Knicks, when the Charlotte Hornets or the Sacramento Kings or whoever are looking for a new head coach, they're going to say, oh, well, that Kurt Rambis guy, it's going to be a name that rings in their ears, that rings out.
Possibly, yes.
So if you're Carmelo, you can't go in front of the media and say, Kurt's a cool dude, but I don't think Kurt is the right coach for this
team.
But
he basically said something similar, though.
No, he didn't.
He said they should do a coaching search.
Carmelo said you need to keep...
Listen, I think we agree with this. Most athletes, for the most part, with the sometimes slip-up, are pretty good and pretty smart when it comes to, you know, not giving too much to the media.
Right.
What they really feel.
Right, right. So all I'm saying is Carmelo saying Kurt might be cool, you know, might be good, whatever. I don't really put much stock into that because what else is he going to say?
Right, either do I.
He can't say anything else.
No, either do I. Yeah, no, it's a fascinating thing what's going on with the New York Knicks and who's going to be the coach. And it just, I would wonder, I'm looking at Dolan. That's what I was going to say. Last night, I was observing Steve Clifford a lot because he's a Van Gundy disciple. And watching Clifford during the game and watching Kurt Rambis during the game. Oh, my God, what a difference, Mo. That guy can coach.
Clifford is doing his thing down here, Charlotte. Last I saw, they were number 3 in the Eastern Conference standings. Kemba Walker just came here into the Garden, lit the Knicks up. You know what I mean?
Like,
nothing negative to say about Kemba. Sack Warren Project stand up and about Steve Clifford.
Moak right now joining us on the show. He's covered the New York Knicks since I want to say 1998. He does a great job for the New York Post. Please welcome in Mark Berman. Mark, did I get that right? Was it 98 you started?
A little later, 99-2000 season, right after they made the finals, and then it's been downhill ever since.
So you were a part of the last official Knicks playoff run in the 2000 playoffs when they got to the conference finals.
Yeah, and then Ewing asked to be traded, and it's just been downhill ever since.
So a lot of reports that Kurt Rambis could be the head coach next year. Before I even ask you, if he's the head coach next year, when do you think Phil might announce that? And do you think Phil, a week from today or 10 days from today, will even go on a real coaching search, Mark?
Listen, when we met with him in Los Angeles a few weeks ago, we really got the impression that he wasn't going to be conducting any coaching search. He talked about how when the season ends, he's going to have nothing to do. The trade market doesn't really open until mid-May. So he's been wanting Rambis to succeed and really indicated that he wanted this to happen. And with all the losing that's gone on since, you know, we were wondering, is he still going to pull the trigger with Rambis, knowing how unpopular it is? And it seems that he's still leaning that way. It could be a mystery candidate we don't know about, but I know that the Thibodeau thing is dead in the water. You know, they're worried that Luke Walton is not going to leave Golden State, and they'd have to wait till late June, or maybe mid-June, probably. So, I mean, you know, Brian Shaw, you know, it's not a must-get. I mean, Phil is closer to Rambis than Shaw. He brings sort of the same things. You know, Phil is more involved now, and that's was the major problem when Fisher was in charge. So if you're a big fan of Phil Jackson and want him to be more involved, then Knick fans should realize, well, maybe this is the better choice. You know, if Steve Mills was running the show, you'd have a whole potpourri of candidates from, you know, Jeff Van Gundy to Mark Jackson, maybe even Thibodeau, Scott Brooks. But, you know, the Knicks are stuck in this Phil Jackson world where, you know, if you want him involved, it's got to be, you know, his way and his triangle.
Mark, simply asked, would Kurt Rambis be a wise decision for Phil Jackson in your estimation?
Listen, he definitely doesn't seem to be, you know, a big motivator. You know, I thought Derek did a better job of getting these guys to play hard. They were 23 and 23 at one point. There's a lot of lapses, I think. And I think even late in games, they're not as good. I think they're like 1-8 in those close games, which is 5 points or less with 5 minutes left. So I haven't been that impressed. But, you know, it is a tough situation to come in February without a training camp. He did change a lot of things. I don't think fans realize the triangle is so vast. There's so many things involved that you could really revamp the offense and still stick to the triangle. So he's done a lot of new things, and he's definitely had been a slower tempo team. You know, Derek really wanted to push the ball. And judging from Derek's comments last night, he doesn't seem so enthralled with the triangle to begin with. So it's been tough for Kurt, and it's definitely a choice where it seems like a safe choice for Phil, knowing he's going to get along great with the head coach. If he hires a Scott Brooks, it's an unknown quantity.
Okay, and just to follow up on that quickly, Mark, being around the team, you know, I don't think there are many other guys that are around the Knicks as much as you. Do you notice or detect any change in the demeanor of the players? Do you think for them they would be happy for Kurt to be the coach on a permanent basis?
Happy, I think they'd accept it. I don't see an overwhelming of joy, even like asking a Jerry and Grant of Kurt last night. You know, he seemed to be, you know, it'll be fine with him. But and you know that Kurt, or rather that Carmelo Anthony, just didn't seem all that thrilled. Feels maybe they should just look around before making this decision. I had heard and I had written that the players looked at Fisher more as a motivator than an X's and O's guy, and Rambis is probably better along those lines. But as far as a genuine enthusiasm for Kurt Rambis, I just don't sense it enough, which is unfortunate.
Everybody talks about Mr. Dolan, James Dolan, not being involved. But Phil Jackson has the opt-out clause in his contract in a year. Is there a chance before Phil makes it official with Rambis or hires another coach that James Dolan goes to Phil Jackson and says, hey, man, you have the opt-out. Are you going to be here past the opt-out? If not, you know, I'm not so sure, you know, we should keep moving forward, or you hire Kurt Rambis? Or does he just say, I didn't pay you $12 million a year to have Kurt Rambis coach the New York Knicks?
Well, the flip side of that comment is, you're paying Phil $12 million a year to be involved with the daily operations and being more hands-on. And with Kurt Rambis, that's what you get. You get Phil more involved. again, with Derek.
But if he's is he a puppet then? Would players look at Kurt Rambis as a puppet to the general manager, Phil Jackson?
Yeah, if you want to call it a puppet, you can call it a puppet. I think, you know, Rambis tried to say last night, well, I'm not a puppet, but we have a great relationship. But, I mean, yeah, it's a negative word, but it's as close to a puppet as Phil Jackson can get. They're very good friends. They disagree on a lot of things, but at least they have that communication where they're talking every day, debating stuff. With Derek Fisher, there was none of that. So you're getting more of Phil with Rambis, and that's the selling point. And some guys have developed since Rambis took over. Jerry and Grant has played better. Robin Lopez continues to play very well under Rambis, even though I thought he was playing well under Derek also. He actually improved even more. Porzingis, it's a mixed bag. He started to come on, but I think it's more the rookie wall with Porzingis than Rambis. But listen, Thibodeau, it's not happening. They have no relationship.
No chance. No chance at all. No chance of a meeting even?
I mean, as a courtesy, I don't think so.
But Mark, that's unacceptable, man.
You know that
that's unacceptable. The best coach available, you need to at least.
Why are you getting mad at Mark, though?
I'm not mad at Mark. I'm mad. This is not good, Mark. We can't be having this.
Yeah, well, I mean, Thibodeau still hasn't won a championship yet as a head coach. Phil's trying to win a championship. And I think Phil, remember that crazy tweet about transformational leader and transactional leader?
Yeah, yeah.
When I looked up the definitions, he wants a transformative leader than a transactional. And I think he feels that Thibodeau could be a little divisive, and I think he doesn't look at him in his view of, quote, a transformational leader, which is all about the team and not specific functions. I think they'd be a better defensive team. I don't think Rambis has really stepped up in terms of getting them to play great defense. But listen, if the organization is putting the ball in Phil's hands, you know, he's got to make the call. If he's not comfortable with Thibodeau, you know, you have to live with it, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't smart enough to understand that tweet from Phil either, Mark, so I'm happy that you went and looked up some of those terms.
I talked to an Albany State business professor who put it in some technical terms. The basis of a transformational leader is his goal is to make you a better team, and a transactional leader is try to make you better with certain skills. But it's the bigger picture of being a better team team-wide building.
That makes perfect sense, and that would explain why Greg Popovich sometimes let Tony Parker run the huddle,
yeah.
Right? And why Phil wouldn't call a timeout sometime. Mark, I think we got time for one final question, and I'm sorry to ask you such a cliche question.
Oh, boy.
But when you go back to January and this team was 22-22, and even the weeks before then, people thought that this team took a step forward, you know, and as the season is drawing to a close, it feels like another lost season. So what I'm curious from your perspective, if you were to grade Phil Jackson's tenure as a whole to this point, what grade would you give him?
In my midseason report card, even when they were doing well, I still gave him a C because I'm not sure how much better. Yeah, they were a 500 team or lurking in that range, but I'm wondering how much better they're going to get. I mean, their cap space will be $18 million. It's not enough for a max deal. And, you know, hopefully for them, Afaro will opt out. I think he will. But, you know, in terms of recruiting more guys, Phil did not prove anything last summer that
right.
he could get the stars. And I'm just wondering how much better they're going to be next year, even if they add another player. I thought his free agency last summer was disappointing. You still got guys like Derek Williams, Kyle O'Quinn, Langston Galloway, who may not be in rotations for other teams, but they're key bench pieces for the Knicks. It's not a deep team. I'm concerned about how much better they could actually get, even with adding a couple more pieces. They're the third worst team in the Eastern Conference. They've got a long way to go.
Mark, I have one last thing to ask you, and that's a guy you covered, Patrick Ewing, to me the greatest Knick of all time. He mentioned that he'd be interested in coaching the Knicks, but he has been, and he's talked about this, he's put in the work. He has been an assistant in the NBA since he retired in 2002 when he started with the Washington Wizards. How come he hasn't gotten a head coaching job yet?
Well, he's made some interesting remarks about why, you know, his theory, and he talked about GMs look at former centers as maybe not as brainy as the point guards who seem to get a lot of the coaching jobs because they're the floor generals. And he went on to say that, listen, when I was with the Knicks, I was calling out defensive signals. I was even barking out instructions on offense. He feels that there's a definite prejudice against big men when it comes to coaching. It's been surprising. He didn't have a good interview with Michael Jordan and the Charlotte staff back a couple of years ago when they hired Dunlap. Heard he wasn't very prepared. He also interviewed with Dumars in Detroit. But, you know, interviews are very important, and I guess he hasn't come across well on the interviews. He's definitely a smart guy. I mean, I've known him for many years, and I think he could be a good head coach, and I'm surprised no one's given him the opportunity. And it is bizarre he hasn't even gotten a Knicks interview with all the coaching changes that's occurred. Will he get the chance? I don't know. He could be running out of time.
Mark, great stuff, man. Wish we could talk to you for 2 more hours, but we got to get out of here. But
Mark doesn't wish that.
No, I think Mark would stay on. I think Mark would stay on for 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Real quick, Mark, one more. Answering a yes or no question. Since Yao Ming made the Hall of Fame, should Stephon Marbury be in the Hall of Fame because of, you know, he's a, you know, it's not just the
Why
NBA
are you
Hall of Fame.
The man's time?
Because Mark, that's a great question for Mark.
Well, with Steph, the Basketball Hall of Fame, it's not just the NBA, it's high school, it's college. And he had an incredible high school career and also at Georgia Tech. So, I mean, I can make a case that he can make it. Plus, you know, what he's doing in China.
Well, yeah, that's why I asked what he's doing in China.
In the arena. So I think you can make the case. And Yao Ming, it's just too bad with the injuries. He could have been a revolutionary player. He had, beyond the 7'5 size, he was stocky and strong, and his feet just gave out. But again, it's about your basketball, not just the NBA, and he also was a tremendous player in China and is a worldwide figure with, you know, one of the most famous basketball players in the world. So I would say yes.
Mark, thank you so much, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
You bet. That was Mark Berman from the New York Post right here on the Knicks Blog Podcast.
Brilliant stuff, but I'm going to tell you this right now.
What's that?
You owe me lunch for that Marbury question.
That way, Moak, the reason I asked was
I don't want to hear that.
No, because of what he's done in China.
Who has been? Come on, man.
I'm not saying Mark and Marbury are tight.
Which is why you shouldn't have asked Mark the question.
That's why I did.
Ain't nobody voting for Stephon Marbury to be in the Hall of Fame.
Moak, he has a play about his life in China. And it is the Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm not saying Stephon Marbury is a Hall of Famer. I'm just saying they do have a statue of him. They have a play about his life in China. And if Yao made it because of his contributions, maybe Steph will make it for his contributions in China.
I don't want to hear none of that, man. Adrian Wojnarowski of The Vertical, he wrote something, or actually was a video, maybe this past week or so. I guess we're going to touch this before we get out of here. But he made a very interesting comment. You know, he said around the league and amongst players that are going to be free agents this summer, Kristaps Porzingis apparently is a great draw to a lot of guys.
Yeah, I would think that. I would think that.
Woj says even better than what the Lakers' core is out there in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I would think guys would want to play with Kristaps Porzingis. He's very talented.
Kevin Durant called him a unicorn,
right?
Yes,
the unicorn. He has unique skill set. He's 7'3", can play a little inside, can play outside, he can block shots. To me, when I think of Kristaps Porzingis this year, the most impressive thing to me that he's done is his ability to block shots.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would think if you're a free agent or you're a player, you'd want to come play with Kristaps Porzingis. Absolutely.
I'm not sure where I saw this stat, right? And I mean, like, we talk about Porzingis a lot, but this guy seems to be the future of the franchise. So, you know, we should talk about
him. Yes.
But I saw a stat maybe a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if it was from Tommy Beer or if it was on ESPN or whatever. But Porzingis is like the first rookie in history
yes.
to make 100 threes and to block 100 yes. shots and to score at least, like, I don't know, 13 points. Like, something weird
That. Listen, he's had a fantastic rookie season. Obviously, you know, Towns is going to get Rookie of the Year. But, no, Porzingis has a very bright future, and I really can't see what it holds. And, yes, and Phil Jackson drafted him. So, good job for Porzingis.
Definitely good job for Porzingis. And good job to our boys, Adam Zagoria and
yeah,
Josh,
you gotta check out the
too,
Four
right?
Quarters podcast. You know why you gotta check it out this week though, Moak? Because Monday was one of the greatest sporting events of all time.
You think it was all time?
And they're gonna be talking. They talked about it on the podcast with Jay Billis.
They had Jay Billis on there.
Yeah.
You don't usually see a buzzer beater to win
a championship.
You're right. I was gonna say to win the NCAA title game, but to win any championship,
to win at the buzzer, and Adam Zagoria and Josh Newman talk about that. And to listen to the show, go to zagsblog.com or wherever you listen to your podcast. So that should be an epic show. So definitely check that out.
I'm about to check it out as soon as we get off the air, man.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, listen, it's been another fun show, Moak. Always great to be with you.
Definitely great to be with you, too. And don't forget to tell the people, man, next week we're going to do a show.
Yeah, it could be the last one for... It's the last one for a little while, but if the Knicks hire a coach in, like, say, early May, we'll be back to do a show about that. So just, you know, follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG, Moak at Moak Hamilton. Follow the KnicksBlog.com. Also check Moak's work with BasketballInsiders.com. But for our show, check those outlets to see. But we'll definitely be back on next week to put a bow on the season, and we'll be on anytime.
Ad hoc, anytime, right?
News breaks or something important goes down, we'll be on. And I'm sure we'll be on throughout July for the free agency. We'll probably be on around the draft. Even though the Knicks don't have a pick, you never know what may happen around. And that's always a very exciting time for the NBA and their fans. And also, don't forget, we're on Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, and Audio Boom. Or you can always go to iTunes. Just search SNY.TV Knicks. Make sure to rate and review the show and be nice. Big thanks to our producer, Jason Pateri. Big thanks to Mark Berman for coming on. Mark's always a lot of fun.
Gotta love the guy, man. I think he's one of the best guys to talk to.
You know why you gotta love him? Because he is keeping the hoop earring alive.
Him and Michael Jordan.
Yes, yes, that is true.
And Ahmad Rashad.
Mark Berman, Ahmad Rashad, Michael Jordan, keeping the hoop earring alive. We'll be back next week, everybody. Have a good one. Take care.
This has been the Knicks Blog Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.